Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good morning or afternoon, everybody. This is the show, The Armor Report. It stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. Thank you all for joining me. I'm Brett Rosenthal, your host and fund manager. This is a live trading desk, so the next half hour I'm going to chat with you, but screens all around me. I'm in the cockpit. I'm trading, getting prepared for Fed Day. This is a show about stock market investing in the millennial age. It's about using algorithms and other tools of today combined with fundamental analysis to create your investment approach and what we like to say is protect capital but still capture upside. So without further ado, let's get right to it. We're going to talk about how to trade Fed Day, how to invest on Fed Day, whether or not Fed Day should change your investing approach. These are the questions we're going to get to. First thing I like to do on the show every day is take a look at where our top five algorithms are, where they are in the process of risk on or risk off. So what that means for our multi-day strategies, long-term strategies, and then how it affects our day trading strategies. We use the exchange-traded funds SPY, DIA, QQQ, IWM, and Momentum, MTUM, as our top five indexes that guide all of our other investing approaches. So quick update, those of you who are following me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, thanks for being there. If you're watching this live stream, if you're listening to the podcast, you are aware that we've been in a risk-off position really at the beginning of December. It started at the very end of September with the small caps and mid caps, and then we've been in big cash positions ever since for conservative accounts and cash and short through equity put options in our aggressive accounts. Nothing has changed in that regard. So Fed Day, step one, Fed Day has nothing to do with the multi-day longer-term strategy of how we run money. It will affect day trading, no doubt. We'll get into that in a minute. But had we gotten a risk-on entry point across the board today or yesterday, I'd be buying like crazy in front of the meeting, having no fear of what the meeting is going to be. There's no questions of fear or greed here. It's just a question of executing when the reward's worth the risk we're taking and when the probabilities, statistics, tell us it's worth putting that risk on. So at the moment, our algorithms are saying it's not worth putting that risk on. That risk I'm talking about is multi-day long positions, multi-day risk, investing for longer-term risk. That window's closed right now based on statistics and probabilities using our algorithms. These algorithms are designed for the volatility of each of the top five indexes I've mentioned. They're highly accurate. Okay, highly accurate. If you just look at the S&P over a 10-year period, we can go back further, but I think 2008 forward is the most important time for us to focus on because it's the time of the millennial age. It's the time of central bank intervention. It's the time of algorithmic investing dominance. And so it really skews the data. These algorithms are successful before 2008, but it was a lot easier to run money then. Central banks were not using their balance sheet to buy equity assets. Okay, so traditional cycles made more sense, and building strategies, trading strategies to benefit from them was easier. So to me, it's important that in the last 10 years, our algorithms are highly accurate. The algorithm for the S&P, SPY, is 90% accurate. 90%. That means 9 times out of 10, when our algorithm says get long the market, the S&P, you could literally buy SPY, and 9 times out of 10, you would get out of that position at a profit. Obviously, not 9 times out of 10 do you get out of the position at a huge profit. But that's not what I'm talking about. If we can put capital to work on this trading desk when rewards worth the risk and our probabilities are high, and we can get out in a negative market without losing capital, that's a major win from an alpha standpoint. It means we'll be there every time the market skyrockets, we're going to be long. So if we hit a phase where the market goes up 6 or 12 months, 18 months, we're going to be long. Great. The rest of the time, we're taking small gains or small losses if we have to, protecting capital, waiting to capture the upside when it's available to us. And it's usually not available. It's usually available to you when you think it really isn't. That's how the market works. So these algorithms are highly accurate. Now, it doesn't mean we buy the bottom all the time and we don't sell the top. We're not bottom fishing or trying to top tick. It just doesn't work, guys. Statistically speaking, it doesn't work. If you're constantly trying to buy bottoms, the statistics will be awful and you'll get your head handed to you, catching the proverbial falling knife. And if you're constantly trying to sell the top, you miss a massive bull market, worried that this is the top. So statistically speaking, those things don't work. So what we're trying to do is get the white meat in the middle. Now, if the market's up huge today and up again tomorrow and we get follow through and it looks like a bottom's in place and our algorithm says put some money to work, we're going to do it even if the market's up a couple percent from here. It's okay. Some of our best long entries happen on days where the market's up 2% plus. And we're buying at a time where everyone's thinking, no, 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 wait, it'll come back. We'll get a chance to buy cheaper. And you never do. It just takes off and goes. That could be what happens. The Fed could make some comments and boom, the market explodes. And we'll be having to pay up for it. But in this grand scheme of things, we've been out of the market roughly since the beginning of October, depending on how aggressive or conservative our portfolio is. So we have huge alpha baked in right now. So we give a little bit up off the bottom. That's okay. We're not looking to bottom fish. We're looking for when the probabilities are the best and the rewards best versus risk. And right now, algorithms say, can't do that in front of the Fed meeting. Which is interesting because the algorithms did say to do that in the small caps and the Qs in front of the last Fed comment from Powell, which was the 27th of November. Those of you who are following me, you'll remember this. We were getting long the NASDAQ and the small cap index before the Fed made for Chairman Powell made his comments that were dovish, and the market exploded higher for 4 days. We made money on those trades. Not a lot, but there was some money there, and we made it. This time around, algorithm says, no good. Don't like it. Can't do it. Probability is not good enough. The reward not worth the risk. The risk too high. Okay? So how are we going to trade Fed day? You all know we came into the day short the market. If you've been following us, you can always follow us on our website, rosenthalcapital.com. We try to update real-time risk on, risk off monitor. We update our interactive brokers model accounts. We have an affiliation with IB, and our clients basically link their account to one of these three models. All my own personal capital is in those three models, conservative, balanced, and aggressive. So in the aggressive account, we've been short the indexes through index puts. And we started booking our profits on the puts 2 days ago at the low. So at the moment, we started booking a profit, which was 100% profit in 4 days on those puts, at the low of the year right now. And we did that because we were matching the lows of February. That was a target of ours, so we booked some profits there. Then the market was up yesterday, sold off into the close. We used that weakness. We booked some more profit. This morning, the market was quiet, broke above the opening range high, and we booked a lot of the profits. So right now, we only have a third of our original position on. And we've booked about 100% profits on two-thirds of our position. So we're kind of getting ourselves in a more balanced state because we really don't know what the Fed's going to do. And I would say almost rule number one on Fed day is we don't like to trade. We don't like to trade on Fed day. It's insane. And it's like gambling. We have to try to guess what may or may not happen. I don't really have any interest in that. What I like to do is trade after the initial flush from the Fed announcement. After about a half an hour's worth of trading, if you get the right setup, that's what we like to trade. And typically, the direction we trade is the exact opposite of the initial reaction to the market. So we've booked a whole bunch of our profits on this put transaction. So we're kind of back into a cash position with a smaller, you know, put, we have a third of our position left. How are we going to handle it? I'm not setting up any positions going into the announcement. Once the announcement comes out, the market's up big in the first half hour. We'll be looking to put shorts back out. So we booked a bunch of our gain. And so if the market runs higher in the first half hour off of an announcement that's perceived to be dovish, we're going to look to buy those puts back at higher prices and reestablish. But we need the right setup. We need the triggers. So it's not an automatic thing. It's just if we get to a location that's important to us and we get the right triggers, then we end up reestablishing our put position. If we don't get the right triggers and instead the market gives us a risk on buy signal tomorrow, well, we'll get out of the rest of our puts and we'll start going long. But so a big up move in the first half hour of the Fed meeting will mean to us, let's start looking to reestablish more of our short position. Conversely, if the market whips lower in the first half hour after whatever the comment is, testing the lows, and those lows hold, and we get a reversal pattern and a trigger higher, then we'll be booking the rest of our put gain and perhaps looking to get long into the end of the day. Perhaps. It's very fluid here on the trading desk. On Fed days, I really need, you know, kind of exactly what I'm looking for to put trades out. It's almost like you hear like a hitter on an 0-3 count. And you hear the coach say, you know, only hit your pitch. You know, either you get a take sign or you get the only hit your pitch sign. You're looking for that pitch to come right in your wheelhouse. You're willing to swing. Anything else that's close to the edges or the corners, you're not willing to swing. That's what it's like for me on the trading desk on a Fed day. If it sets up in my wheelhouse, I'll put a trade on. Otherwise, really don't have an interest in it. And I really have more of an interest trading tomorrow. Don't forget, we are in a bear market. We are stalking the bear. I've written a blog post about stalking the bear. You can find it on our website, rosenthalcapital.com, under algorithmic investment research tab. You'll see stalking the bear. I update that periodically as we continue to stalk. So the Fed comments and meeting per se doesn't change that we're in a bear market and we're stalking that bear and we're in a downtrend. So what we're really looking to do on a multi-day level for our trading desk is to short rallies back to the downtrend and look to cover sell-offs down to the bottom of the trend. That's why we started booking our put profits 2 days ago. We were right near the bottom of that trend, right near key price points, locations we call it. We hit locations, we book profits. The market runs up for a day or two on the back of a Fed comment, which we really think is pointless unless there's like a major change to what the Fed says. We'd have to look at the numbers, look what the comments are. But we're really in a downtrend. So run back to the top of the trend, run back to the 50-day moving average, which is in a downtrend, the 200 days in a downtrend. That's an ideal place to put shorts out, particularly on event-driven news. It's not really a change. I mean, if if the Fed were to say something like, we're no longer raising rates and we're going to begin adding to our balance sheet and adding liquidity because we're afraid what's going on in the market here, we'd be buying that like crazy, okay? But I doubt that's going to be the comment. It'll be some other muddled baloney, mumbo jumbo, and a continued quantitative tightening. And if that continues, even if they stop raising rates, but the Fed keeps tightening along with the ECB, which is beginning the tightening process, don't really see how the market can go up. And it looks like that downtrend's for real. So we looked at short rallies and then cover shorts, book profits at the bottom of the channel. Okay, let's another blog post that I've got going on the site. I always promise you guys I do it, and so I've started. And that's a blog post that I call I've been doing this for 30 years as an investor. And I've told you guys before, I'm building a list of investment advice to hand off to my 5-year-old son, my 2-year-old daughter, when I feel they're ready for it. And as I build that list, I'm sharing it with you. I've been doing it on these podcasts for the last few months, but now I'm going to start helping you out by adding a blog post, which I've done now, to our website, rosenthalcapital.com, where I list rules of the road, 30 years in the high seas of investing. And so I'm adding another rule today. So if you're writing them down yourself, grab a pen and a piece of paper. If you'd rather just follow along on our blog post, feel free to go to the website, click on it. You'll see what I'm saying. Rule number 30. And this is a bit of a I'm changing direction here. We're done talking about day trading the Fed or trading the Fed or how it changes things. Okay? Basically, bottom line for that part of the podcast, we really don't like to trade the Fed. We've gotten our positions, our short positions, down to a level where we can handle the volatility. And we're looking to trade the opposite direction of whatever the first half hour action is, with the caveat that if there's some major change in the Fed comments, we might have to adjust. We are stalking the bear still. As long as we're in that downtrend, we're looking to short the top of the trend and cover near the bottom of the trend. Boom. That's it for the Fed. So let's move on to something fun. As we're building this list of rules of the road, I saw the Micron earnings announcement last night. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Micron, down another 6, 7, 8% today. Really been a terrible stock over the last few months. And all I can remember from financial news networks over, 3, 4 months ago is how great Micron is because the PE ratio was so low. Over and over and over. Do you guys remember that? Every analyst they trot out tells you how great, oh my God, look at the PE ratio. It's a 5 or a 6 or a 7. And I just wanted to highlight for you rule number 30, rules of the road, 30 years of doing this. Okay. You ready for this? It's going to attack the very bedrock of what they teach you in the universities about how to invest. Okay. Price to earning ratios are a waste of time. Okay. PEs are a waste of time. Don't ever talk to me, ever try to convince me that I should buy a stock because the PE ratio is X. X versus itself, X versus the market. It makes no difference. Price to earnings. Price can be whatever it wants to be based on the herd mentality of the market. And here's another problem with PE ratios in the last 10 years in this millennial market. Central banks, they have an unlimited supply of capital. Unlimited. Infinity, guys. Infinity. And they shove it into the equity market. Price goes up. It doesn't make a difference what earnings are. PE ratios are a dinosaur. Micron is an example of that. And so rule number 30 is this. You can go to the website. You can take a look. I'm going to read it for you verbatim. I'd like to read it for you verbatim. I can get my computer to come up here. Okay. Here we go. Rule number 30. Don't talk to me about PEs. Talk to me about IP. Now, I tweeted this out today with a chart to explain rule number 30. Don't talk to me about PEs. Talk to me about IP, intellectual property. And I printed up a chart for you. I put it on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report. You could take a look at my stock twits, Brett Rosenthal, RCM Investing. And there's a chart side by side of two semiconductor companies. You've got Xilinx, XLNX, and you got Micron, MU, in the last few months, going back to July. Xilinx is straight up. Micron is straight down. Xilinx always had a higher PE. Micron was always the buy because its PE was so low. Micron's only gone straight down because PEs don't matter. And Xilinx has gone straight up, like the best performing semiconductor company since July. And the reason is if you go to the last earnings announcement of Xilinx, and if you read the research, go to its website, Investor Relations, read through the research, do it on your own, do your own homework, you'll see that they have a major breakthrough in intellectual property in the semiconductor business. That stock's gone through the roof while Micron's collapsed. Don't talk to me about PE, guys. When you're investing, talk about IP. That's where the money is. That's how you want to invest long term. And let me throw another idea at you. And this is one about opportunity cost of money. You've heard that term. Anybody who's been in an investing class and university has heard that term, opportunity cost of money. An economist will tell you about it, right? You have two equal investment opportunity ideas, right? If the one goes up 50%, one goes up 10%, the opportunity cost of money was the extra 40%. What we try to do on our trading desk, what gets to the top of the whiteboard for us, things we want to buy when we get the risk on opportunity with the algorithms, are companies who have strong intellectual property ownership, where there's paradigmatic shifts in an industry and the perception from investors about that industry. High IP, huge barriers to entry. That's where we want to put money to work. We don't want to put money to work in an industry that's having small advances in a cyclical business. Oh, there's some great advance in memory. It's a small advance in a cyclical business, and it peters out and collapses when they overproduce the commodity. This is what's happening to Micron. Xilinx has uncovered intellectual property that's going to drive earnings and revenue of that company for a long time to come, probably becoming one of the best semiconductor companies to own in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years. So rule number 30, don't talk to me about PE, talk to me about IP. And then I guess that's it for today. There's not much else to say, and really until after we get the Fed speak, we see what the reaction is. And then we look to figure out where we want to put capital, if we have to change our allocation, or if we just press the bet on the allocation we've got, which is lots of cash and short positions. So tune in tomorrow. I'll talk to you again at 12 o'clock, same station, Blog Talk Radio, or live on this YouTube stream. I will be updating our Twitter feed after the comments, just in case something major happens. I'll let you know there. And certainly you can look at our website at rosenthalcapital.com, and I'll update the monitor, risk on, risk off, if something big happens. But Let me just take a quick peek at the algorithms. No, I don't think there would be a change today. It would have to be something astronomical to get us to change today, but it would probably, if we were to have a major change in our risk stance, it would occur probably tomorrow or Friday. And don't forget, in this bear market, what matters most to us is the back half of the week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday doesn't mean much. It's how the market behaves Thursday, Friday that really matters. That's been true for the last couple of weeks, and we've cleaned up on the short side. So let's see what week three is going to be like. If the markets are higher going into the close on Friday, and we have a risk-on buy signal everywhere, that would make sense because it'll be the first time in weeks that we have strength in the back half of the week. So anyway, stay tuned. Be safe out there today. Don't overreach. It's a tough day. Just hit a pitch that's right in your zone. Otherwise, skip the trade. Let the volatility wash out, and then we'll move in and get opportunities on whatever trend develops. Thanks a lot for listening. Look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. Take care, everybody.